Attention investors, respected names in the financial services industry are not evaluating if there will be a significant market downturn, but when. Higher interest rates and prospects of a trade war suggest the stock market is headed into a perilous direction. Subprime mortgages, which are back, could potentially devastate the real estate market, as they did before. And with stocks simply overdue for a fall after this second longest bull run in history, even bullish analysts are recognizing these indicators that equities are in big trouble and have projected stock market losses up to 40%. You can protect your IRA or 401k for maximum safety and opportunity with physical gold and silver, as they are assets that remain genuine stores of value no matter what's happening in the marketplace. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806 to get your free guide to precious metals investing. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from FEC Bank. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, John Yetman, AEG, Sharon Ricciardi.
Ricciardi,
FEC Bank, Chris Shiplett, Randolph Law, and Les Small and Vistage. And Les, would you give us a rundown on who we have on the air today, please?
We've got Ben London, co-founder and CEO of Pacify, Stephanie Eberhardt, co-founder and managing partner at Talent Remedy, Father John Adams, president, So Others Might Eat, and Mitchell Cho, president, FedWriters.
Let's get to know our first guest, Ben London, co-founder and CEO of Pacify. Ben, what is Pacify? What are you guys doing?
Pacify is a program for when a mom needs help, whether it's with breastfeeding, with nursing, with a kid's fever or a rash. We're there 24/7.
Wow. Whose idea was this?
It was mine. It was mine several years ago.
Wow. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Nashville, Tennessee.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I'm the youngest of five, but it's complicated.
Why is it complicated?
Well, my parents divorced when I was two, and by the time I was four, they were both remarried, so I'd inherited some siblings.
Where in the pecking order of everybody, where are you?
If you've ever been a youngest sibling, you know that you're as the youngest, you're at the bottom of the pecking order.
So what did that do to you, being the youngest? What was the effect of you being the youngest of five of a blended family?
As the youngest, I think you're always trying to figure out a way to differentiate, to cut your own path. You're in a lot of ways a reaction to your siblings.
Differentiate, is that important to you? How's that need to differentiate been helpful in terms of you building a business?
Yeah, I think that early on, I started to try and find ways that I was different, that I thought differently in my interests from my siblings, and that's been really important at Pacify.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Pacify started in part on the idea that telemedicine in general wasn't serving all of the people it could.
Keep going.
There's a million telemedicine products out there, but few that were specialized, few that were helping parents in crisis, few that were going after needs that were real and critical in the moment.
So your need to differentiate, being the youngest of five of a blended family, actually helped you cause to be able to focus on a unique market niche, on a unique business opportunity. That's sort of interesting. Chris, what are you thinking?
Ben, did you play any sports when you were growing up?
Yeah, I played lacrosse and golf.
And what was your role on the lacrosse team?
So I was a face-off guy, and truly face-off and get-off is what it's known as.
And what does that mean, face-off and get-off? What's the role that you're playing on the team?
It's a very narrow role. Go get the ball right at the start of play, and then pass it to someone who can score.
Is it sort of a specialized role in that way?
Super specialized, and it really doesn't get you any headlines.
And how do you think that relates to what you're doing now?
That's a good question. I think that you learn that work in the trenches, that work of getting the ball, even though nobody necessarily remembers it, it's where it all gets done. It's what matters both in lacrosse and at a company.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
I mean that I think a lot of companies are focused on headlines, on their profiles online and things like that. I think we're focused on executing, and that's how it was in lacrosse too.
Interesting. Lester, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I want to go back to this differentiation theme that you brought up. You mentioned during the green room you were playing chess at age five. What was that about?
I loved it. I loved strategy. I loved competition. I loved everything about, you know, chess and crosswords and things like that.
And what's that got to do with what you do now?
I don't know. I still love strategy. I guess that itch is never fully scratched. I love problem solving.
What do you do different than everybody else on the team?
I think that it'd be a great question for them. I think that I'm probably a lot more a bit more cerebral than a lot of people.
So one of the things that you take on is the whole idea of strategy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It sounds to me like you developed that characteristic as a young kid.
Yeah, I think it probably does trace back to those early years.
Mm-hmm. Sharon, what do you think?
So your father, what did he do for a living?
He was a judge, a bankruptcy judge.
And does that have any influence on what you're doing today?
Yeah, we're all, you know, in the mold of our parents, whether a reaction or an imitation. I think that absolutely. I, from an early age, I grew up wanting to do something like what he did, and it's definitely influenced the way my career's gone.
And there are similarities to what being a judge is to what you do today. What are those similarities?
Yeah, it wouldn't seem that way on face, running a small healthcare company, but a judge threads the needle. It's someone who's taken their skills as a lawyer and found a way to try and put them to use for the public good. And that's a lot of how I think about what we're trying to do at Pacify.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
I just mean that a lot of ventures are really trying to strike it rich, and money's great. It's good to be successful, but it's rare that I think we have found a niche where we can do well by doing good, and that's really unusual.
Wow. How do you know you're doing good?
Every day, I look at the charts from the moms that we're helping. I talk to our chief clinician about the tough cases. I am out working with the Medicaid plans who are serving these moms who wouldn't get these services any other way. And that's what keeps me going.
What do you mean that's what keeps you going? You actually spend your time on the clinical stuff?
I'm not clinical. I'd be the first person to disavow that. But I am, the fruit of our labor is when the mom gets that help in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And if we don't do a good job with the technology, if we don't raise funding, if we don't get a contract, that never happens.
John?
Ben, how old were you or young were you when you started thinking for yourself?
That's a good question. I don't remember exactly when it started. Some of the earliest things I thought about were religion. I, on account of this divorce and the remarriages, I inherited three or four different religions.
So how does that affect or impact your business today?
What I remember is questioning everything. I remember going through confirmation and then not ultimately being confirmed. I remember going to bar and bat mitzvahs and wondering what was going on, and I think that has stuck with me. I think I'm still people would still say that about me.
Say what about you?
That I take very little on faith.
So you really try to figure everything out, try to figure out a better way to do things, what's really meaningful to you. That's actually what you've done with this business, isn't it?
It's certainly what we're trying to do.
Uh-huh. Chris, what else are you thinking?
And would you say you're more like your mom or your dad?
Oh, I try to be like each of them, and in ways I try not to be.
In what ways do you think you're like each of them?
Yeah, what do you bring from them to work every day?
Good question. If I could put it how I'd like it to be, I'd love to listen like my mother and to speak like my father.
And do you think you bring that to your business now?
I probably do a better job on the speaking side than on the listening side a lot of times, but I'm a work in progress.
Uh-huh. Sharon, what else are you thinking?
Being the youngest child, you were influenced by one of your siblings, or how did having so many siblings...
Yeah, affect you.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I was more influenced by one than others. I'm certainly... I got to watch them make all of their mistakes and try to avoid them.
Wow, so you really are an observer. You really are a chess player trying to figure out what makes sense, what doesn't. Les, what do you think of?
I want to go back to the comment you made about taking little on the face value of things. How does that help you now?
I think that the nature of startups is that at the heart of every startup is questioning of some conventional wisdom about how something's done.
Finding something that doesn't exist and going and filling it. Those are the patterns. That's the strategy piece for you.
Yeah.
Where did that show up for you early on, 8 to 14?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, first in chess, then later in debate, and then in my religious studies major, and I'm not sure it ever stopped showing up.
Mm-hmm. John? What do you got?
You seem to have a healthy dose of skepticism. And how has that translated into your business decision making?
I guess if you ask the folks I work with, it would be, you know, they would frame it as endless meetings to get to the heart of something before we make a decision.
Ooh, that's an interesting word, to get to the heart of something. So why'd you use that word, to get to the heart of something? I thought business was pure data.
That's a good question. I actually think what I meant data in a certain way. A lot of people make business decisions on instinct. My co-founder's really good at that, for example. I'm more inclined toward the data, toward the chess game.
Why do you have a co-founder?
Because I need someone to get me across the line when it comes to making actual decisions.
Uh-huh. And why don't you just keep all the money for yourself? Why would you have a co-founder?
That's a strange duality. I'm not sure you ever get to, I'm not sure you would get to keep the money for yourself. But I love working with others. I wouldn't have wanted to do this without a co-founder.
But I read the newspapers. I thought business was all blood and guts and people suing each other and stuff. But it sounds like you really trust your partner.
I do, and I think that what really is true is that the more people that we can get paddling the same direction, the better we all do down the line.
Huh. So it's not about me. I mean, on one hand, I hear you're really interested in the clinical results that you help your clients with, that you help your, your customers with. And on the other hand, I hear that it's all about the team. I don't hear, it doesn't sound like you're very selfish.
I try not to be. I think it's an unhappy way to exist in business, in a way that a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the website address of this organization known as Pacify?
We're at pacify.com.
Pacify.com. We've been speaking with Ben London, who's co-founder and CEO of Pacify here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break. You nailed it.
Nice work.
And your name is?
Keith Smith.
And the name of the organization?
CapTech Consulting.
And what is CapTech Consulting?
CapTech is a technology management consulting company.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about what kind of technology you're consulting on and who you're doing and who your clients are.
So our clients are largely the Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 companies,
mm-hmm.
and we're solving technology problems for them, whether it's building a mobile app or integrating with other systems.
All right. And what's your role in the company?
I run business development for this region.
So what's that mean?
So it's basically sales and mm-hmm.
How young were
accounts.
You when you started making money? Or how young were you when you started working?
I was probably about 10 years old.
Doing what?
So initially, my dad was a developer and builder, and I would work on the job sites.
So what were you doing on the job sites?
I was helping the carpenters clean up.
Uh-huh. So your role was cleaning up after the carpenters.
Yes.
And what was the next step in your entrepreneurial career?
My brother and I started a lemonade stand. We sold lemonade to golfers.
And what'd you do different than your brother?
My brother was probably more on the sales end at that time, and uh-huh. I handled the money.
Uh-huh. So what'd you learn cleaning up after the carpenters and handling the money with your brother at the lemonade stand that has anything to do with your role as executive as business development at CapTech?
Yes, definitely developing relationships and problem solving.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
So ultimately, consulting is a people business, mm-hmm. and to be successful in that business, you need to be able to create relationships and develop strong relationships.
Mm-hmm. Ah, I see. So the idea is that your ability to work with your brother at the lemonade stand and work with the carpenters, I guess, the reason your dad wanted you there is you had the people skills. What's the website address of this organization?
CapTechConsulting.com.
Let me have that one more time.
CapTechConsulting.com.
And your name again is?
Keith Smith.
And your role there is?
Managing Director.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a 3-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today. Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
You love your car, and so does CarChecks. We're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and have been helping people avoid spending a fortune in costly car repair bills for almost 20 years. For about $2.50 a day, you get the peace of mind in knowing that your expensive repair bills may be covered by a vehicle protection plan. Think about if your air conditioner or the transmission goes out. That could cost you a few $1,000s. Or you can get protected with CarChecks and pay only a standard deductible. For about $2.50 a day, you can make sure you don't get stuck with the bill for covered repairs. Keep your car in tip-top shape. For a completely free quote, call CarChecks now at 800-958-5207. 800-958-5207. That's 800-958-5207. Or visit GetProtected.com. That's GetProtected.com.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. I'd like to introduce Stephanie Eberhard, who's the co-founder and managing partner of an organization known as Talent Remedy. Stephanie, what is Talent Remedy? What do you guys do?
So Talent Remedy is a recruiting firm that is revolutionizing the way recruiting is done. We're offering affordable recruiting solutions to small emerging businesses.
What are you doing different than what everybody else is doing in the world of recruiting?
So what we're doing differently is we're not charging our clients large fees for placements. Instead, mm-hmm. we're working with business owners to understand that they have budgets and constraints, and we're working with them on a personalized plan to find the best staff that we possibly can, learning about their culture, their management style, mm-hmm. and saving them somewhere between 40 and 60% of what they would normally pay for recruiting fees.
And how old is this company?
We're 3 years old.
And how'd you get a job with it?
Actually, I'm a co-founder and partner with it.
You co-founded the business?
Correct.
Uh-huh. Where are you from originally?
Bethesda, Maryland.
You're from Bethesda. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
One older brother and one younger sister.
Uh-huh. And what was the effect of growing up in the middle?
It was fantastic. I had an older brother that I learned a lot of lessons from, as well as leadership. And I had a sister who I could help learn a lot of really great life lessons as well. So I could help her come along and teach her quite a bit.
Wait. So you learned that it's okay to bring people that know more into your life to help mentor you, and it's also good to develop other people.
It's a give and take, exactly, a give and take.
How'd you learn those lessons? How'd you get those lessons?
I think because I was the middle child, I had the opportunity to observe both the older and the younger and watch what they did and the lessons that they learned. And I realized you need people around you that know more than you, and you also need to pay it forward and bring people along with you and help them. And one of the most rewarding things is seeing those people move past me. So that's pretty exciting.
Isn't that scary? Like, you know, don't you feel intimidated when people know more than you? And isn't it frightening when people are moving up beyond you?
Absolutely not. It's fabulous.
You're pretty comfortable with yourself, huh? How about mom and dad? What'd they do for a living?
So mom was a homemaker, and my father was a government contractor. He worked with a government contractor as a proposal manager.
Mm-hmm. What'd you get from mom, and what'd you get from dad that you're using every day?
So I think from my mom, I learned that you need to support yourself and have your own ambitions and career. Mm-hmm. And I think from my father, I learned a tremendous work ethic and to get up and show up every day.
Hmm.
And you mentioned your early experiences making money. Can you tell us a little bit about that and why you decided to?
Sure. So I did start making money very early. My parents had very tight budgets. We didn't have a lot of extra income. So in third grade, I was about 9, I started paper route, and I did that for a couple years. And then in sixth grade, when I was 12, I started my own lawn service. And I cut people's lawn during the summer, and then I shoveled snow during the winter. And then and when I was 16, I actually went to work for a retail company.
Do you have any partners in this business?
I do have one partner, a business partner. It's a 50% partnership.
How long have you guys known each other?
We've known each other for 5 years.
And male or female?
Female.
And what do you like about her? What'd she do better than you?
I like all the strengths that she has in terms of operations. So I do sales and marketing, and she manages the recruiting team. She hires the recruiting team. quality control in our recruiting, so we have a terrific balance. She doesn't like my job, and I don't like hers.
Lauren?
You mentioned your team is very loyal. How do you foster that environment?
So we've really tried to develop a culture of employees that can not only have a terrific opportunity to work with us and find rewarding work, but also have a healthy lifestyle. So I am very much into work-life balance. Early in my career, it was work, work, work. Now I truly believe it's work-life balance. And the more balanced you are in your life, the healthier and happier you are.
You're really giving people the flexibility in their lifestyle that are working with the organization.
Correct. So we do offer tremendous flexibility. I'm a firm believer that if you hire the right people and you empower them, they're going to do the work and they're going to do it well. And mm-hmm. especially if you hold them to certain standards. I don't believe they have to be sitting next to me in an office or that I have to see them at 8 o'clock every morning and they have to stay till 6 o'clock every night. They can work when they want to work as long as they're producing. And in turn, they have a good quality of life.
What do you look for when you are interviewing somebody? What are some of the key things that stand out that makes you say, this is a good person for my firm?
So we ask them about their background. We find out about their work ethic, what motivates them, what type of cultures they thrive in. We ask a little bit about the challenges that they've had and how they handle those. And we really try to find out if they're able to work autonomously, because that's how you grow a company, is people that can work autonomously yet want to be part of a team.
Hmm. The you grew up in Bethesda. Mom and Dad are still living in Bethesda?
So my dad moved about 25 years ago out to Frederick, and my mom's been gone about 16 years.
Interesting. Do you think they'd be surprised that you turned out like this?
I don't think my father is, because he said to me several times, he said, let me think, his exact words were, you're a real go-getter, Steph.
Mm-hmm. How about Mom?
I think she would feel the same way, based on my businesses early in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So she wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
You think they'd be proud? You think they're proud?
Oh, absolutely.
Why?
Because I was able to do something they weren't able to do.
What do you mean?
Well, they you know, my mom was a homemaker, and she never had a career. My father worked for a government contractor. And so their lives were dictated by somebody else, essentially, whereas I've empowered myself, and I can create the life I want.
Mm-hmm. Your brother and sister, are they surprised?
My brother's an entrepreneur. He owns a real estate company.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister is a realtor as well, so she has basically her own business.
Mm, so we got a pretty entrepreneurial family here.
Correct.
Uh-huh. You married or single?
Single.
And what's the greatest lesson? What's the most difficult part about building a business?
The most difficult part is no name recognition. So it's actually getting your name out in the community, having people learn about your services, and as Rick had mentioned earlier, being a self-promoter, that's really key.
Mm-hmm. So it's really the marketing.
Correct.
The marketing stuff. But maybe that's because you've got a good partner who's focusing on the operations, so therefore you're really focused on the marketing and sales.
So both are equally important. You've got to have a great service or product, mm-hmm. but you also have to have somebody that's out there promoting the business. As I always say, you can't open shop and hope people come running to your doors. You have to go out and find those people and share your information and your ability to help them with whatever problem they have.
Mm-hmm. What would you say are some of the most important lessons that you hope your children are learning from you?
Entrepreneurship. So I've got a 21-year-old son and a 19-year-old daughter, and encouraging them both to do their own businesses at some point.
Mm. What's more difficult, being a mom or being a CEO?
Being a mom's fantastic, because children are just amazing. I mean, all children are, not just my own. I mean, they just have so much potential, I think, is what I see in all the children that I have seen my children be friends with over the years, and they're surprising. Like, they keep us very young.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of being a CEO, it's juggling all the different things that you have to juggle between operations and sales and financials and marketing, and it's just having a balance in the business.
There are more opportunities tomorrow or yesterday? Mm-hmm.
There's always opportunities. I think they're everywhere. It's just finding those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Lauren?
You talk about work-life balance. What's your one daily habit that you have to do every day for yourself personally?
So I get up every morning and I do an exercise class at 5:45.
Why do you do that?
Because it gets my day going. I have a lot of get my energy flow. I feel like I'm taking care of myself for 1 hour out of the 24 hours of the day, which I think is important. A lot of times leaders don't take care of themselves, and I feel like that you have to show your employees that you're taking care of yourself, and they in turn should take care of themselves.
How about the website address for the organization?
It's talentremedy.com.
Talentremedy.com. All right. We've been speaking with Stephanie Eberhard, who's the co-founder and managing partner at Talent Remedy. This is Herb Cohen. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370. 605-5370.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Father John Adams, president of So Others Might Eat. Father John Adams, what is So Others Might Eat?
So Others Might Eat is a nonprofit organization that's in Washington, D.C., and we've been here for 39 years.
Uh-huh. And what do you guys do? What's the purpose of the organization?
To restore hope and dignity to people that are on the streets, people that are homeless, people that are poor, people that are hungry.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from originally?
Erie, Pennsylvania.
How long have you been with this organization?
38 years.
Did you start as the president of this organization?
No.
What was your original role in this organization?
I was just the social worker coming on at that time.
All right. So where are you from originally? Erie?
Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters?
Seven.
And where are you in the pecking order?
Second oldest.
Uh-huh. And what happened to you when you were a kid? With your dad?
Yes, we had seven kids, and my dad was working at a steel mill there in Erie, Pennsylvania, and we were sort of middle class at the time, and my dad had a terrible accident and could not work for many, many years except for very small jobs. So that was a big influence on our whole family.
Well, wait a minute. So there's seven kids, and dad couldn't work. And so tell me what ended up happening to you guys. Did you have to move or anything like that?
We had to move many times. We were homeless for many times. So that we were often in tents outside for one whole summer, and other times we'd have to find other places to live. So it was a difficult time.
Wait a minute. You're telling me you're one of seven kids, dad got hurt at work, and you guys are homeless, and you guys are moving a whole mess of times, living in tents sometimes?
Yep.
Uh-huh. And how'd that all affect you? Didn't that make you angry?
Well, living in the tents, we were pretty young, and so we didn't mind that. That was like vacation.
Uh-huh.
But once it started getting cold out, it was pretty difficult. So different relatives would take us in, or we would find a place to live for a while, depending upon how much we could even raise to stay in a place.
Uh-huh. Didn't that make you angry? Didn't that affect you by getting you really angry and stuff?
No, I think it was terrible, obviously, and it was difficult. And people came along to help us.
Uh-huh. Sharon, go ahead.
So tell me about the people who came along to help you.
Some of the sisters and the priests that we were being taught by, and they certainly stepped in very quietly and very dignifiedly and helped us in a lot of different ways. Number one, even keeping in a Catholic school. So that was a big help for helping to feed us sometimes and help us to move on. Yeah.
So that was a big influence on what you're doing today?
Yeah, a huge thing, yeah.
Isn't it, actually, it is what you're doing nowadays. It sounds to me like you're helping people that were in a situation that you were once in.
Mm-hmm. So my parents were always pretty compassionate anyway to helping people before my dad's illness and everything.
So you'd say you're a lot like your mom or your dad?
Probably both. Both. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you decide to go into the seminary?
When I finished eighth grade and went into high school seminary in Erie, Pennsylvania, just outside of Erie. And they were again, wonderful priests that were training people to eventually become a priest and to go overseas into different poverty places in the country, in the world.
And you found that appealing because you had been helped.
Yeah.
And you could, and you really wanted to help others the same way you've been helped.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Chris, what are you thinking?
During this difficult time, when you were a child in eighth grade, when you decided you were going to go into the seminary, did you have any particular role models that you recall?
I think, the priests and sisters that were helping to move on and knowing what would I want in life, and they influenced me greatly that I would love to be a priest someday.
And you had mentioned that these were your teachers in school.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How do you feel that teaching influences what it is that you're doing today, or what it is that So Others Might Eat is doing today?
I think the big thing for a lot of the teaching, at least in Catholic schools, was for social justice, making sure we're out there for other people that are in need, and what are we doing about it, and we have an obligation to help people. It's biblical, it's religious, and so that was a pretty big thing for me.
Les?
How much of what happened to you as a child is reflected in how you lead the organization today? What do you think you take from that?
I think it helped me greatly as I grew up and went to, again, Catholic University for philosophy, theology, the School of Social Work, and I decided that theology and School of Social Work went hand in hand, and mm-hmm. it's biblical, and it's what are we going to do to help the poor and the needy? And so that's been, was a huge help.
So you never questioned the path you were on back then, did you?
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. And this restoring hope and dignity is really core, isn't it?
That's our mission at SOM.
Mm-hmm.
But it's who you are.
Pardon?
It's who you are.
It's who I am, and I think pretty much with all of our staff is the same way. Uh-huh. People that really want to work with people that are homeless on the streets, people that are alcohol or addicted people that have mental illness. People
who might otherwise be rejected, yeah, perhaps by others. You don't. You take them in.
Yeah, and encourage them. We have doctors, dentists, all that, and psychiatric social workers. Many of that.
Father John, of all the amazing things you do every day, what is your favorite part of the day?
My favorite part of the day is coming into SOM. I get there 6 o'clock in the morning, so that's probably one of my favorite parts.
You were telling us a story about something that happened yesterday. What happened yesterday?
What happened yesterday, I was going out to a meeting over here in Virginia, and on New York Avenue, there was a homeless guy walking down between all the cars and causing havoc. But anyway, I stopped and gave him a card for Dunkin' Donuts. But I told him, why aren't you coming over to SOM? It's only 5 blocks away. And he said, well, he wasn't sure that he was welcome there. And I said, you'll be welcome there and just come.
Why did you stop? You were on your way to an important meeting.
Because I really wanted to make sure I didn't pass him up and encourage him to come in, and we'll certainly help him out in a lot of different ways. I mean, it would be awful if I just skipped him.
Why? Why would it be awful if you just skipped them?
It would go against what I believe in.
Which is?
That we need to help the poor and the homeless and the mentally ill.
Uh-huh. Did it matter to you how he felt about your approaching him yesterday?
No, I think it was fine. I mean, I don't think people talk to a lot of people in the streets much. So, and I don't have any problem with that, just saying, come on, we can give you some help.
Uh-huh. Sharon, what do you think?
Well, when you were going through it, and when you were young, the hope and the dignity, how did you feel like then? Did you maintain dignity? Did your family, did these people help you maintain your dignity?
Sure, and it was done very nicely, very quietly, very without any fanfare, and so that certainly affected me. That this is what I want to do.
It's kind of clear on why you're doing what you do today, if you ask me.
Helps.
Yeah, so you really wanted to, it's pretty evident who you are, but you took your time going to this important meeting, pulling over to the side of the road and having a conversation with this individual because, it would have been a sin if you didn't. You really felt the need to reach out to him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then actually you mentioned that was the best part of your day. I mean, an important part of your day was reaching out to this individual. Going forward, is there more of a demand for your services or lesser of a demand as time goes on?
I think it's a pretty big demand period because not only do we serve over 1,000 meals a day, but we have a doctor or dentist. And but one of the big things about being homeless is that people need a place to live. They're living on the streets.
Father, John, you said when you joined, there were two people. Now there's over 300 people. What do you attribute that growth of So Others Might Eat?
I attribute the fact that we need more people, and because with the different things that we do, we have in our Washington, D.C., over 40 places in the city that are providing housing for families, homeless families, as well as individuals and elderly. So that's a pretty big thing.
So you need people, but yet you get the people. Other organizations have need. They don't all get that many people.
No, but we get out there and we tell people what we need, and we want people to get off the streets and to be in proper housing, and that's a pretty big thing. And also other things that people need is we have a big job training center that we graduated 100 a year to get good jobs, and a new building that we just put up, we'll be able to graduate 300 people a year to get decent jobs, which will be wonderful.
Uh-huh. And you get into the office in the morning at 6 a.m., huh? What time do you stop working at night?
I usually get home about 4 or 5 o'clock.
Uh-huh. What time do you stop working at night or stop thinking about stuff? when you fall asleep, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it's 24/7. You're constantly on it. What's the website address for this organization?
It's some.org.
SOME.org?
Yep.
We've been speaking with Father John Adams, president of So Others Might Eat, here on Executive Leaders Radio. They're going to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. And we will be back in a moment right after this break. Nice interview. Want help building your business with help from the show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. Mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958.
1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Jeremy Farber. Jeremy is the president and CEO of an organization known as Securus. Jeremy, what is Securus? What are you guys doing?
So Securus disposes of obsolete electronics and does secure destruction.
Huh, interesting. How large or how small is this organization?
So we're about 40 employees.
And how'd you get a job with it?
I started the company in 2000.
You started the business. Wow.
Yes.
Where are you from originally?
So I was born in Kabul, Afghanistan, which is not
Tell us more. Where else did you travel from there?
So we lived there for a couple of years, moved. It was in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Keep on going. Which other countries did you move to?
Moved from there to Arizona. Moved from Arizona to Africa. Lived in Africa for a little while and then spent most of my time in Alabama.
Wow. You moved to different continents, different cultures, different everything's here. Well, that must have been pretty difficult. What do you think the effect of all that moving with those different societies has been on you? What do you think the positive effect of that's been?
It's made me very independent, made me be able to navigate the world, you go through an airport, figure it out, get on planes by yourself, travel 8, 10, 15 hours.
So I get the fact that you're independent, but you were also a real innovator in this industry. So part of the independence is also your willingness to innovate and have the guts to innovate. Isn't that true?
Yeah, it's given me a lot of courage in that respect to take some chances and take some risks. And we've been known in our industry to be a real forward thinker.
Yeah, the courage, exactly. David, what are you thinking?
Tell us about your home life as a youngster.
Yeah, so home was tough. My parents were kind of a mess at times. When I was 12, I was it was a mutual decision, I guess you would say, sent off to military boarding school in Alabama, a school called Lyman Ward Military Academy.
And what was the impact of that on you?
Well, I had to grow up really quickly. Really sort of establish myself as a person, as a man, really. I mean, your mommy's not there to take care of you anymore. Learned a lot about leadership, learned a lot about structure and organization.
Brian, what are you thinking?
Were there any mentors
while you were in military school that kind of influenced you and set you on a different path?
Yeah, so there was a gentleman there by the name of Colonel Albert Jenrette. He was a retired full-bird colonel from the Army who was probably even to this day the most amazing person I've ever met, partly because he served his country for 20-something years and then served in education all the way up until he died, actually passed away last year, and just really was just an amazing father figure for me.
What did you so respect about him?
I think I respected his values. He was driven by things that are not normally driven in our society. He didn't care that much about how much he was making or, you know, what title he had. He just wanted to serve the people and serve the students, really, at that time.
Brian?
So do you carry those values forward yourself, and do you bring those into your workplace?
I try. I wouldn't say that I always do a great job of it, but I try. I think I focus a lot on leading by example and caring for the people that work for me. I have a lot of hourly employees who are...
Lucia, do you want to find...
Yeah, you mentioned your mentor was a father figure.
Yes.
Are you a father?
I am. I'm a father of three. An older boy and two girls, and we're in the process of adopting at least one, maybe two.
Why would you be adopting?
Well, when I was about 31, I became a Christian, and I've just felt, me and my wife, and this is mostly my wife, she's wanted to adopt since she was a child. We were very blessed. I mean, we have, our needs are met on a day-by-day basis, and we feel like we have capacity to give a child or two an opportunity.
Why don't you just spend your time building the business and making more money?
Well, I did that, actually. Before I met my wife, I did that. I worked a lot, had some really great years, and had some really bad years, and I always sort of landed at the same place. It never really felt like it was enough. And I never felt like I was getting to where I thought I needed to go. And it was just a constant, it was like running a marathon, but there not being a finish line.
As opposed to, what do you find meaningful?
Well, now I think my wife and my three kids and what we, you know, the life that we have at home, you know, those things are very, very, very important. But also the employees. I mean, I'm very focused on the employees that work for me. That is my number one focus every single day. In fact, our motto at Securus is if we focus on the employees will focus on the customers. And we didn't make that up. That's actually how, from Southwest
and take
Airlines.
Take me back to how faith enters into your life and into the business.
Yeah, so after I became a Christian, and I guess it was 10 years ago, so 2007, I think my focus changed then. It became more about who was working there, what we were doing, who we were serving on a day-to-day basis. I mean, I'm not the type of Christian that goes and work and plasters Bible verses all over the walls, because I grew up in the South, and I had a lot of experience with overbearing Southern Baptists. But I feel like, you know, I'm called to set an example and to really focus on the people that work there.
And then the reason that you're doing this adoption, again, let me hear that.
Well, the reason is, you know, we've been blessed with a successful business. My wife and I, we've done well. We have finances. We have a house. We have extra rooms in our house that nobody's using right now. And there's people out there.
And you find meaning. And you find you find meaning in giving.
And what a nice testament to your mentor.
And what is the website?
Exactly.
What is the website address of this organization known as Securus?
Securus.com. So SECURIS.com.
We've been speaking with Jeremy Farber, President and CEO of Securus, here on Executive Leaders Radio, as well as we've had the opportunity to speak with Anthony Lawrence, CEO of Boer Technologies, Vita Richardson, President and CEO of the Association of Corporate Counsel, Andrew Howard, President and CEO of Howard Insurance, and again, most recently, Jeremy Farber, President and CEO of Securus. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Lucia Headley, Headkey, Is that correct?
That's it.
All right, from Cressa. David Kunzman, Perturi Law, and Brian Tillman, Punch Digital Strategies, for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today. And do have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.